If my mother were still alive, I would know if the black coat I habitually wear was worn out. "Are you still wearing that coat?" she would have asked with a short laugh, and I would have known that in her eyes anyway, whatever it was I had on me was done. The short laugh was code for annoyance. Annoyance that I appeared to have gone out of my way to put on something that a passerby would disregard rather than regard. Just as a passerby would regard a primrose on a bank, but disregard the clay and leaves and other dead material of winter. Her annoyance pained and angered me, gave another twist to something inside that had been twisting since I was a child. I had disappointed. I had let her down. I had displeased. Like the time I came first in the reel at the festival in Larne and arrived home that night too exhausted to lift my head or speak. I had looked forward to that festival for months. There were nights I lay in bed thinking it is so far away in the future that it will never come. Larne was 40 miles from our home, but to me it was far, far away in a different county, and its name was full of meaning and importance. Arrangements had to be made. My father was to take my sister and me and two of our friends to Larne, and my mother was to mind the bar until he came home in the early afternoon with my sister and our friends. I was to stay on for the evening competitions, go out for tea with our dancing teacher and go home with her in her car. From a distance of several weeks, these arrangements only added weight to the importance of the occasion and its consequent excitement in me. The day of the festival arrived. We drove along the shore to the lighthouse keepers' houses to pick up Kitty, then called for Sheila on the farm on the outskirts of the town. In the festival hall in Larne, I was mortified to see my father sit down in the adjudicator's chair, set up on a rostrum in the centre of the hall. I tried not to see him, but Kitty squealed, "Your father's sitting in the adjudicator's chair." There were 98 in for the reel in the 9 to 11 age group. I was number 54 and I came first. Lunchtime came and my father took us all out to a hotel. It must have been around this time that I started to think, with some small jabs of anxiety, about the arrangements for the coming evening. My father would be leaving with the others in the mid-afternoon. I was to go out for tea with our teacher. For the first time, the reality of this event began to snake around in my imagination. The idea of going out for tea and having to eat with an adult who was not my parent, who might even have another adult with her, disoriented, frightened, and sickened me. Back in the hall, I sat miserably beside my father and one of my friends, while my sister and Kitty took part in the two-hand single jig. I got up, went to the cloakroom, and in the privacy of one of the cubicles, cried my heart out. When I returned to the hall, only my father was sitting in the place I had left. He turned to me and said, "Do you want me to stay?" It must have been quite late when we all arrived home together that night. The excitement of the morning, the anxiety that had later engulfed me, the relief of my father's perception and kindness, the long drawn-out day of dancing and waiting and dancing again had drained me of all thought and feeling. I remember sitting on the end of the sofa with my legs stretched out in front of me, regarding my feet intently, while my mother scolded repeatedly, "What's the matter with you? You should be happy." And I remember lying down in the same place in my bed where for weeks I had tossed restlessly, closing my eyes and feeling the weight of darkness and exhaustion press down on me and quench me into sleep.